Oh, Lord, thank you for your sweet, sweet presence, Holy Spirit. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you for this time. Oh, thank you so much. Your sweet, sweet anointing and presence is so wonderful. Thank you that you have called all of us to be the body of Christ, to be the temple of God, to be your building, your church. Not this building, but us, the people. A dwelling place of God. Thank you for dwelling here with us, being with us. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for the book of Ephesians. We thank you for what we're about to study. Holy Spirit, I ask you to continue to lead me and guide me, to help me with teaching and preaching, to preach with authority and with power, like Jesus, but with love, Lord, and understanding. Prepare all of our hearts and minds so that we can truly, truly understand even greater the nature of the church, the purpose of the church, and who we are in Christ Jesus. It's so wonderful. It's so awesome. It's so glorious, and it's so powerful. Such an incredible privileges that you've given us and tremendous responsibility. But thank God that you've given us the power of the Holy Spirit to do all that you've commanded the church to do. And we do it as one. We are one in Christ Jesus, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So the last couple of weeks we've been in the book of Ephesians. We've been learning so many amazing things of who we are individually in Christ Jesus. But I want you to remember, we've all studied the book of Ephesians for ourselves individually. The book of Ephesians speaks to us as individuals. But really, the purpose of the book of Ephesians is Paul is speaking to the ecclesia, the universal church of God, the entire body of Christ. So when he's saying that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father, put in authority over all principalities and powers, but he was given as the head of the church, right? When it says that we were raised, that we were dead in our sins and trespasses, but now that we're alive in Christ and we were raised and seated with him in heavenly places, that's true of us individually, and he's talking about that, but he's really talking about the church. The church operates from the position of authority with Jesus in the heavenly realms. So the book is for the church. And everything that we're getting ready to study in chapter 2, Paul is going to start focusing on the unity of the church, the oneness of the church, how we are one, how God, by his miraculous power, was able to make Jews and Gentiles, people who were totally opposed to each other, who literally hated each other, how he was able to bring both of them into the body of Christ and make them one new people, one new man in Christ Jesus, so that they could work together. That's what we're going to really, really focus on today. Because let me tell you, ever since the church was birthed at Pentecost and the apostles began planting churches, the devil has not stopped trying to bring division into the church. And he uses all types of different ways. Religions, racism, politics, even differences in theology can create divisions in the church. Different understandings of our knowledge of God. We cannot allow the devil to put these types of barriers up in the church. And especially the church in America in the last year, he's been working overtime to bring division in the church, especially playing the race card, as they call it, in the church, and the political card. It's caused lots of division in the church, and we need to make sure that we don't allow that to happen. Amen? So let's just look at, before I get started, let's look at some of the incredible blessings that we learned from the first two chapters of who we are in Christ. Paul says, by grace through faith, that in our union with Christ, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. because of his love, God decided that through Jesus Christ, he would make us his children. Hallelujah. By the blood of Christ, we're set free from our sins, and our sins are forgiven. God raised Christ from death and put him at his right side in the heavenly places, and he put Christ over all rulers, authorities, powers, and kings. He gave Jesus authority over everything that has power in this world and in the next world. And then God put everything under Christ's power and made him the head over everything for the church. Jesus is the head of the church. We are the body. We follow him. We work together with him. The church is Christ's body, and it should be filled with Jesus. God is rich in mercy, and he loved us very much, Paul told us. He still loves us very much. We were spiritually dead because of all that we had done against him. But he, by the power of his resurrection power, he gave us new life together with Christ. We've been saved by God's grace. It's because we're part of Christ Jesus that God did the same for us. Remember, just as God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right hand, Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, 6, 5 and 6, that God raised us from the dead and has now seated us. Did the same thing for us that he did for Jesus. We are now there with Jesus, operating from there, getting our authority and aligning ourselves with Jesus as the head of the church to do what he's called the church to do. Then we know that for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are his workmanship. That means we are his special masterpiece. We are his, the words is actually is where we get the word poem from. We're his way of expressing his love through words. Created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them. So we learned all about that. God has such an incredible plan. Again, that speaks to us individually, but that is really, really focusing on the church. God has created and prepared works for his people to do before the foundations of the world. As a body, as a group of people, as the ecclesia. So let's look at chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. And see how God brought two people groups together who hated each other and learned the way that he accomplished such a powerful miracle. Reconciliation is probably, we don't look at it this way, but reconciliation is probably one of the, is one of the greatest miracles and greatest examples of the power of the cross and the power of God that there is. When he can bring any group of people totally hate each other, that are opposed, are at war with each other, want to kill each other and do violent things. When God can take that hate out of both of those people and bring them together and restore their relationship, reconcile them together, that is an awesome, mighty, mighty, powerful miracle and work of God. And only can be accomplished through the cross of Christ, through the blood of Christ and through the cross of Christ. That's the only way it can be accomplished. That's what Paul's going to tell us right here. But he's focusing really on the Gentiles right now. You know, the biggest division that Paul had to deal with in the church at Ephesus was it was made up of Jews and Gentiles. The Gentiles apparently still had some beefs and some problems with their Jewish brothers in the church. All right? They were still a little ticked off at them and still weren't really getting along with each other and still a little jealous or whatever the case may have been, because of the privilege. And the Jews probably, some of the Jews were probably still telling the Gentile believers that they had to be circumcised, they had to follow still all the Jewish laws and rules. So there was probably this conflict and division going on constantly all the time. And that's very, we may not have that issue nowadays in the church, but there are other issues that come up in the church that cause us to bicker and fight and be opposed and divide and can divide us and stop us from flowing in the unity and the power that God wants his church to flow in, which only happens through unity. So he starts by telling the Gentiles, to remember where we came from. And he does this in order to help us see more clearly where God has brought us now into his kingdom. It's always good to do a contrast, to look back at where you were. You have to remember that, and then look at where God has brought you now. And that will just fill your heart with love for God and gratitude for him. And it builds your faith, because you know where you were before, and you know, you really know who you are in Christ and where you are now in Christ. That makes a big difference if you can really know that in your heart, believe it in your heart, and understand that. Amen? So let's read. Chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that at one time you were Gentiles, heathens, in the flesh. You were called uncircumcision by those who called themselves circumcision. He's talking about the Jews. In the flesh, made by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separated, living apart, without Christ. You were excluded from all part in him. We had no part in Christ at all. Utterly estranged and outlawed from the rights of Israel as a nation. We were strangers with no share in the sacred compacts of the messianic promise. We had no clue about the Messiah. No clue about a messianic promise, about a Savior coming to save the world. We had no knowledge of or any right in God's agreements and his covenants. We had no hope, no promise. We were in the world without God. Man, were we in a horrible place. Were we in a miserable, miserable place. But praise God. Yes, at one time we were far away from God. But now, hallelujah, in Christ Jesus, we're brought near to him. And how are we brought near to him? We're brought near to God through the blood sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. No other way. As I said, what a miserable, horrible place we were in. That's why it's good for us to remember that. Remember where we came from before we were brought near to God through the precious blood of Christ. Because it increases our gratitude and it strengthens our faith. No wonder the psalmist said, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever." His love isn't just good. His love is awesome. He is awesome. His grace is truly amazing. His love is beyond all measure. Is it any wonder that our Lord and Savior Jesus told us to go and preach the good news to every living creature? Why? Because it is good news. It is awesome what God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 14. Christ is the reason that we are now at peace. He made us Jews and you who are not Jews one people. Paul is stressing the oneness. He wants them to be together, to be one, to be one heart, one mind, one accord, to be in unity. We were separated by a wall of hate that stood between us, but Christ has broken down that wall. By giving his own body, how did he do it again? How did he bring us near to God? Through his blood. How did he break down the wall of division and bring reconciliation? Through his body on the cross. We don't use this as a communion scripture, but this is some pretty good revelation and insight to know about the blood and body of Christ. Not only did he give us forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life, not only did he shed his blood and take all the sin of the world upon his body, but his body was used to bring reconciliation between God and man and between man and man on the cross. That's the power of the cross. I think sometimes we don't see that. We need to see that today. The Holy Spirit wants us to see that today. We were separated by a wall of hate that stood between us, but Christ broke down that wall by giving his own body. Christ ended the law with its many commands and rules. His purpose was to make two groups become one new people in him, one new man. By doing this, he would make peace. By his death, Jesus Christ ended the angry resentment between Jews and Gentiles. caused by Jewish laws that favored the Jews and excluded the Gentiles. I was laying in bed and I was thinking about this last night, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you know how they say what systemic racism is? You know, that it's a system set up for people to fail, certain people to fail, certain people to make, to do really good, and certain people to fail. Well, this may be a systemic religion. I don't know. In that way, you see that? Because God had only promised to the Gentiles. The Jews were promised. They were favored by God. But thank God, he did not leave us there. Christ died to abolish the whole system. The whole system of the law. The whole systemic system of the law. Then he took the two groups that had been opposed to each other and made them parts of himself. One new people means that Christ made a single entity of the two. Now he's fused all believers together to become one in himself. It's all about being one. Verses 15 through 18. God designed to reconcile to himself both Jew and Gentile. Through the cross, Christ ended the hate between the two groups. That's another awesome power of the cross. It ends hate. Especially, we know that in the context, he's speaking especially in the realm of the church. The people of God should never hate each other. They should never be separated. But this doesn't only just apply to the church. This applies to the world, to the whole world system, because the devil, that's all that he sows is hate and division, strife and war. Because that's all he comes for, is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus is the only hope for peace. Jesus can bring peace in the church, but he can bring peace in the world through his cross. And I believe one of the main ways that he'll do that is when the world sees in the church the unity that Jesus died for, that Jesus prayed for. Remember what Jesus prayed in John 17, a big part of it? I pray that they will be one as we are one. And what did he say the reason for? When we're one all through the church and the body of Christ, just as the Father and Son are one, Jesus said, then they will know that you sent me. The unity in the body of Christ is so important. It's such a powerful witness for God that Jesus said, it will validate, it will show them that I really am the Son of God and that you are the one who sent me. Not only for the purpose of dealing with sin and giving us eternal life, but for the purpose of reconciling man to God and man to man. Let's keep reading. And after they became one body, he wanted to bring them back to God, to reconcile them to God. He did this how? With his death on the cross. So Christ came and preached the good news of peace to all, to you Gentiles who were far away from God, and to the Jews who were near to him already. It is through Christ that all of us now, Jews and Gentiles, are able to come in the one Spirit into the presence of the Father. All of us now are one person, one body, one church, one new people, and we all have access to God through what Jesus did. And we can all come to him through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, into the very presence of the Father. As I said before, there are many barriers that can divide us from other Christians. Age, appearance, intelligence even, political persuasion, economic status, race, and theological perspectives. One of the best ways that the devil uses to try to divide the church is by getting us to put up these types of barriers in the church. But thanks be to God, Christ has knocked down the barriers and has unified all believers. We are all now one family. His cross is our focus. His cross is what brings us unity, what unites us together. When we do that, and not only that, but we have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us look beyond the barriers, to get rid of the barriers, to know the lies when the devil puts them up there, and to destroy those barriers so that we can enjoy the unity that God wants us to have. Amen? Aren't you tired of all the talk about systemic racism? All the hatred, all the violence that's happened because of it? The devil is just on a rampage with that stuff, with that racism. Let me tell you, God does not like it. I believe it literally breaks God's heart. Hatred between people breaks God's heart. But let me tell you, no politician in the White House or on Capitol Hill is going to fix the problem. You already know that. They are not going to fix the problem. They'll make it worse. They continue to make it worse. They can't stop the hatred that people have in their hearts towards each other. Who can do that? Only the people of God in the Father's house have the answer to stop hatred and the hostility in this world. We need to let the people know that only the power of reconciliation that Jesus released through the cross can stop the hatred that we see in our nation and in our world. Amen? No amount of reparations, rehabilitations, or re-education can heal all the hatred in America and throughout the world. Only Christ breaks down the walls of prejudice and hatred, reconciles all believers, and unifies us in one body. The restoration of the universe to an eternal unity in Christ has begun. The old division between the descendants of Abraham and the heathen worlds has disappeared. In our new life in Christ, all Christians of all nations, whether they're temporary or external distinctions, are already one in Christ. Remember what Paul said, there is no Jew or Gentile anymore. There is no slave or free. There is no Greek or barbarian. There is no white. There's no black. There's no Asian. There's no Mexican when you're in the body of Christ. There's no divisions. We're all one in Christ Jesus now. Then he goes on to say this. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. Hallelujah. But fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We are members, we are fellow citizens with all the saints, and we are in the household of God. We are in the family of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And that is a mouthful to explain right there. But, and believe me, unless you have the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God to reveal to you and help you understand that, our mind, our intellect can't even understand what I just read right there. We're being built into a temple. We're part of a house that God dwells in. That is just awesome. That can only be spiritually discerned by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Look, the church is not this building. We are the church. The people are the church. Rather, we're here, gathered together here. God's presence is here. Wherever we're gathered together out there ministering, we bring God's presence there. His presence is there. That anointing, that power, God's presence is the only thing that makes a difference. It's the only thing that gives us power to minister and to see other people saved and set free. The church, the ecclesia, the people of God are the house that God lives in. And why is he living us? As I just said, to show himself to a watching world through us. This is one of the main purposes of the church. I believe that's what Paul's trying to tell us. When people can see that God is love and that Christ is Lord, as we live in harmony with each other, I believe it will help bring unity and peace to those people in this world, those that are filled with hatred for God and for each other. We need to tell the world, not only does Jesus give us forgiveness of sins and a gift of eternal life, but Jesus is our peace. And he has destroyed the barriers of hatred that people build between themselves through his cross. Because these walls have been removed, we can have real unity with people who are not like us. This is the power of true reconciliation that comes only through the cross of Christ. Because of Christ's death, we are all one now. Our hostility against each other has been put to death. We can have access to the Father by the Holy Spirit. We're no longer strangers or foreigners to God. We're citizens of God's kingdom and members of his household. We're being built into a holy temple with Christ as our chief cornerstone. And we are a dwelling place of God through the Holy Spirit. Amen. I just want to end this message with praying Jesus' prayer. Because this is really the heart of Jesus for the church. This is what he prayed himself before he went to the cross in his high priestly prayer. In John chapter 17, verses 17 through 23, this is what Jesus prayed. So this is Jesus praying for us, praying for the church, praying for the ecclesia. This is what he prayed to the Father. Father, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. That's the purpose. That's the mission, right? And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth, through God's word. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but listen to this, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Where do you think Paul got this from? Right here. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's preaching about. That's what he's saying. Look, this was Jesus' prayer. For the church, this is who he wants his church to be. I'm going to read verse 21 again. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. And here he says, here's where he says it, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. Where does the glory come from? When we're one, as the Father and Son are one. When we're in that type of unity together. Amen? And God will see the glory, the world will see the glory of God through the church. Verse 23, I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect. How? In one. And that the world may know again that you have sent me and have loved me as you have loved them. You have loved them as you have loved me. Lord, we love you and praise you. And we just stand in agreement with your prayer, King Jesus, that the church would not be allow any barriers, whether it's race, politics, theology. Lord, that we would be sanctified totally by your word, by your truth. That we would know the truth and the truth would set us free. That we would not allow the enemy to set up barriers of division in the body of Christ. That all those barriers, you knocked them all down. You tore them all down. We declare them destroyed by your blood and by your cross, Lord Jesus. We declare them dead on the cross with you. And we thank you, Lord, for setting us free. Lord, we're just declaring oneness in the body of Christ. Lord, I know they're still... From what I hear and see about what people in the church are saying about Sean Foyt and his ministry, and people in the church say about different other ministries, Lord, there's just too much division. And we destroy that division right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we declare that we are one as you and the Father are one, that your glory is being poured out upon us. Jesus, we want to be one so that it's a powerful witness, not only through our words, but through our actions and what the world sees when we're in harmony, that it witnesses that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one that Father God sent to save us and heal us and set us free, that only you can destroy hatred. Only you have the power to reconcile to God, and man to man. What an incredible power you've given us. It's the power of your love. Your love never fails. So, Lord, we love you and praise you. And we thank you that here at Word of Victory Church that we are one. We are one in the body. We are one in Christ. We are your temple. We are your building. And that you dwell here in our presence. We give you all the glory and give you all the praise. And we just look forward to what you're doing already to bring the body of Christ more and more into unity. And once we're there with all our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're all focused on your goal and your mission and working together to fulfill what you want us to do, not trying to do our own thing or build our own ministries, but doing what you want us to do to build the kingdom of God. Man, what a great revival. What a powerful release of the glory of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to see a great and awesome harvest for you, King Jesus, for the kingdom of God. And we thank you for that right now in your name, Jesus.